The following Dharma talk was given by Jody Hojin Kimmel at the Zen Center of New York City, Fire Lotus Temple. Hojin Sensei is the abbot of the Zen Center and head priest at Zen Mountain Monastery.
Hello, Brooklyn. Welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. It's quite a first time. I was just feeling a moment ago, I didn't know what time it was. Like, I lost track of like morning, noon, night. I was just, there was a kind of a timelessness. I see some of you going, yes. Just falling into this chant, this fusatsu, which is a renewal of vows ceremony. Even though we all have some vows, so you might not have taken formal vows or anything like that, but things that we find valuable that we guide ourselves with in our life, that are, yes, like moral and ethical values and virtuous qualities that we generate and cultivate within ourselves. And this ceremony is as old as the Sangha itself. It started with the Buddha. And in this incarnation, if you will, energetic role is as an ancestor of the Buddha Dharma, as one of the successive generations from the time of Shakyamuni Buddha, the 84th generation. And I really wanted to bring this ceremony from this wisdom tradition to us here in Brooklyn. It's such a valuable way to atone for the harms that we've created that have come to us because of our beginningless greed, anger, and delusion, ignorance. I too am a Buddha on the path to Buddhahood, a Bodhisattva on the path to Buddhahood, just like you. And this is a ceremony to not only bring light to the harms we've created, but to continue to learn to know how to restore and heal our relationships, and to look at these virtuous qualities, which is this namu, be one with, and then there's these archetypes of the tradition, compassion, wisdom, compassion in action, Samantabhadra, the future Buddha, Maitreya, who Thich Nhat Hanh says, you know who the future Buddha is? Sangha, us. We're the future Buddha. It's happening now. So I feel like this is invaluable and a gift to have this ceremony of the lineage offered by the Buddha, not as punishment, but as healing, where we can enter with our own wounds, our own joys and sorrows, regrets, our own suffering, appreciating, as Mizumi Roshi liked that word, instead of responsibility. When we hear the word responsibility, he felt like it got sort of weighty, but it is our responsibility. But he said, let us appreciate our responsibility for our actions and the karma, the action, the karma is action, born of our body, mouth, and thought. That's how we create karma, through these doors of body, speech, and mind, and to know we can be at one with our misdeeds. All evil karma ever created by me. Some say all twisted karma. I like that, ever created by me. Or all harmful actions ever created by me on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. So we don't know when things start, right? We can't, if you try and see, like, when did I start doing that? It's like, I don't know, personally, I can't really track how long the blueprint has continued generations of acting or having the seeds of everything within me and when they get activated. Now I atone for it all, born of my body, mouth, and thought. Now I atone for it all. In the Buddha's time, he saw that even those who were sincerely practicing the way, mainly the monastics and the nuns, the monks and nuns, who had left behind wealth and family, they renounced, still fell into greed, anger, confusion. He saw that awakening doesn't erase our humanity. So, the Buddha understood our human tendency also to hide. When we conceal, we want to conceal our wrongdoing and how the mind grows restless and tight in our concealment. When we bring it into light, the heart can breathe again. It's difficult. And maybe you know this in your own experience when you kind of own something and what happens when that's released or taken responsibility for. So he gave the Sangha this practice of upasatha, repentance it's called, and renewal. So I'll talk about repentance because that could ring some bells off in some people's minds. But everyone would gather, the whole Sangha would gather, monastics and monks and sometimes lay people, to listen to the precepts, we have 16 bodhisattva precepts in our tradition, and they would speak about how they transgressed, and they would stand up and acknowledge that before everyone, a whole assembly. So we're not going to do that, so you can chill. we're not going to confess or anything out loud, but we do it alone, but together. So within yourself, perhaps things came up where you felt it, right? You felt like the wrongdoing or the harm, and it came up. That's great. That's what it's about. And he would just have them say it out loud to each other. And he said, just as a person would wash off dirt to be clean, so too one reveal and purify one's misdeeds. It's only to ourselves and is a big, courageous ask. He said, to prevent how we can decay, the reason he had them do it together because he was trying to prevent how we can decay in the relationship from secrecy and pride. And we see that in our life, I think. So it's not about shame. It's about trust, really. And trust, as we know, that has to be earned over. It's like it's fragile. It's like we really have to practice trust. It's not a given. Even like with someone we've been with for a long time, we can be shocked into mistrust in a moment. But it's about keeping the heart open. And he saw it as how to keep the community whole. So we have a lot of work we do around building trust and having talk and consensual talk with each other. In my room at the monastery, somebody gave me a calligraphy from Thich Nhat Hanh, and it says in an enso, "Be still and heal. Be still and heal." And I look at that when I wake up each day there and feel and take that in. And I feel like that is the practice of fusatsu and atonement, is to get still so we can see what arises and heal. Be still and heal. And I think this fusatsu ceremony was Buddha's response perhaps to be still and heal. And that's why I wanted to bring it to you this morning. And you can also do these chants outside of here. So once you leave, you can receive these chants and do it at your own place. So we don't live in a monastery, but we do live in community. Here we are And we're bound together in this way right now as community. And we have family, and we have Sangha, we have society. And the same truth applies in that there is connection, and there is concealment, and there is separation. So what is it that needs to be healed? What is it that you need to heal? What is in our family, in our world, your world? And it's important to acknowledge that, you know, sometimes we can understand speech and how that creates harm or with our body. But sometimes just our thought, we don't realize the power of our thought to create harm. Even just thinking something already energetically sends out something. Even though we may not act on it, it does send out an energy. So in the Gatha of Atonement, we bring to mind clearly what is here. Whatever situation presents itself as our experience, what we call our life, whatever is happening, whatever has happened, and to see this as Buddha Dharma. See it as awakened nature, which means we have accepted everything as this very life. We don't leave anything out. All evil karma, all evil actions ever committed by me since of old on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, now I atone. Now I am not separate at one minute. Now I am not separate from it all. This Gatha is very pointed, isn't it? We're not hedging around about who it is created by me. I can't point outwards. It's tempting. We want to. We do that often. Blame is big for many of us. But it's created by me. My personal responsibility. So the question, the attention is without question turned this way. And then we see it as an expression of our life, as my life. Yesterday I spoke about the paramita of patience in Zazenkai and how we need great forbearance, great patience, restraint here, right? Forbearance carries this feeling of restraint. We have to forbear. We have to be patient with not only surviving adversity, but controlling the impulse to lash out against the perceived cause of adversity. That takes a lot of forbearance and tolerance. There's no punishment in Buddhism. I hope that doesn't disappoint some of you. Our worth is never diminished when we do something we shouldn't have. It's just we did something we shouldn't have. So we notice we're caught. We got caught. We acknowledge it. At least we feel it. That's the morality working, that inherent virtuous quality of having morality, knowing right and wrong. Some of us really can feel that right away. And we take responsibility and we commit to our vows or whatever you value, your vow. Simply the recognition of the wrongdoing and the resolve to repair and move on. Now, this isn't like presto change-o. We know this. Don't think just because we chanted all evil karma ever, like you're done, clean slate. But it begins that opening to move forward. But I have to do this quite frequently. That's why the Buddha did it every full moon, right? Had this ceremony. So this word repentance. So in Latin, re is again, and paientiare, if I'm saying that right in Latin, is to cause regret. So repentance is, it causes regret again and again and again. To repent is to feel sorrow again, or to repent again. And atonement, at one-ment, is to become one again, become one with, to be reconciled, to stand honestly in awareness and say, yes, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is how I have caused harm or experienced harm, knowingly or unknowingly. And in this honest seeing, you might feel it. Something softens. Just a little bit. Something softens. The walls that we build around shame begin to dissolve. The self we thought we had to defend begins to open a little bit, slowly. If we're really being at one with, yes, this happened. Yes. And not rushing as in patience, not rushing to resolve the tension of opposites. When one side is illuminated, the other side is dark. So we don't rush to resolve opposites. That's from Genjo Koan. So Buddha spoke of a helpful or a healthy shame. And then when that's coupled with the fear of wrongdoing, the Buddha called this a bright guardian, a bright protector, a noble treasure of the world. Buddha said, the human world is protected by hiri, H-I-R-I, shame, and atapa, fear of wrongdoing, which protects us and others from harm. Can you see that coupling? Shame and the fear of wrongdoing, that we won't do things later. It's a protection that we'll regret. So it shows that we have a high ethical standard is present. Good self-esteem, respect and honoring our virtuous qualities. That's when we chant. So we did the Gatha of Atonement, and then that was followed by this Namu, which is being one with these virtuous qualities through these archetypes, if you will, or these bodhisattvas and buddhas, which is our qualities. So right after we atone, we say our virtuous qualities and be one with them. We're not declaring in the Gatha of Atonement we're sinners. We're just saying we're human. We acknowledge the beautiful and painful truth that we all make mistakes. That's what it's about. That we act from confusion, we act from fear, because we're still deluded within delusion, working with it. But we still act from our confusion, our fear, our habits, and yet we also have the capacity, we have at the same time these virtuous qualities, and to awaken. Not by erasing anything that happened, but by transforming our relationship to it. So every moment is an opportunity to return, to renew, and to begin again. One of my Dharma brothers, Yukon, when he was dying, he couldn't speak very well, but I went into his room and I was telling him, hey, Yukon, tonight we're doing fusatsu. And he threw his head back and he said, ah, make fresh. Make fresh. It's like, yeah, make fresh. And we used to have a cat here named Namu. Bad cat. It was a bad cat. It would attack all the time. Like you would just be sitting there and then suddenly in your leg, under the couch, you know, or this paw would come out, wham, wham, wham. And you could see the eyes would start dilating before you knew it was coming, right? And then it would just, and Niotai rescued her and just gave her a chance. And one day she was in the kitchen and we were preparing for fusatsu, and she started to chant, Namu, because it's catchy, you know, and it's great. Namu. And she was mesmerized. So she goes, is your name Namu? So her name became Be One With Namu. And she, for the Sangha, having her here, we brought her to the temple, and being with everyone, she started to change, right? That she still had those moments of eye dilation and watch out, but she started to get really friendly, and she almost caught herself a few times. Yeah. So, yeah, in a practice life, you know, letting go doesn't mean we forget. Letting go of the past doesn't mean forgetting. It means allowing the past to rest in its place. Yes, that happened. We no longer need to rewrite it or carry it forward as an identity. This has to be worked with, right? This is the at-one-ment, becoming at one with, not carrying, caring. The breath comes in, the breath goes out. We meet what's here, not what used to be. We meet what's here, not what used to be. And when we truly let go, we're not turning away from responsibility, but we're turning toward our life, saying, this is the whole. This is the whole person. Myself, totally worthy of beginning again. So Fusatsu means to restore, to make whole again, continuous good practice. These are some of the translations. To be living in accord with our undefiled, unperturbed, original nature. And I remember a time early in my practice when I hurt someone close to me, not out of malice, or more out of carelessness and pride. And I caused pain, and yet something in me resisted admitting it. And I see this as is a habit that have had to be worked with. But I know, like when I was sitting, it was like a stone in my chest. It was like a stone in my chest and in my pit of my stomach. And that was mostly all I could feel in Zazen. And my mind kept saying, it's not such a big deal. But the body was saying something completely different because I felt this stone in my chest and my gut. And sometimes something is not a big deal, but sometimes saying it's not a big deal, you have to like slow down. And finally I went to them and I simply said, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I really am. I was wrong. And what struck me the most was not their response. They were kind. They accepted it. But the immediate lightness I felt inside, that's what struck me. It was like, you ever feel that when just like you say something and then this weight just comes off, right? You just lighten up. The weight wasn't in the mistake. It was in my clinging to the idea of being right. That's where the weight was. I wasn't going to let them win. I had to be right so they could be wrong. That was the deal. But it's the whole. It's the whole. And that moment taught me something the Buddha was teaching all along. Coming clean is freedom. It's hard, but there's a freedom to it. Dropping what we no longer need to carry. Being at one with, so what do we do? So we have to discern, like, what action isn't self-centered, isn't based on me, but we have to connect with the other as well. So sometimes we want to make an amends with the person, and going up to them and saying something like that is not the thing to do, right? So something from the past, I'm not going to write a letter to that. I might, but I have to really put myself in their place. What's it like to get this letter 15 years later, when they've done their work or whatever, and I'm just going to open something again. So you got to, we have to discern. We have to feel it out. It's not always easy to discern. Sometimes I've written letters, never mailed it. But just that writing it and burning it or offering it, that was the weight that went. It wasn't meant for the other person to receive. So sometimes we write it and we mail it, or we have an opportunity to speak to someone who's passed. So maybe the person died and something wasn't finished. Go ahead and talk. Who are we? How do we know what's not being sent out, seen and unseen? I don't know. It's not oody-voody, not from where I sit. It's a real thing that happens. So Dogen also, in Japan, continued and reestablished the satsu as a vital practice for monks, nuns, and lay people alike. Everyone was invited in. He said, when you confess before the Buddhas, all Buddhas and ancestors rejoice. The ocean of vow is thus purified, and the body and mind of the one who confesses becomes light and clear. So we might think of Fusatsu as Zazen in action. Renewing our Bodhisattva vows, is take refuge again and again in the present moment. In each enactment of what we realize on the cushion, and that there is no fixed self, no permanent stain, only the living process, again and again, of awakening. In another sutra, the Buddha said, when a person knows they have acted wrongly and acknowledges it, makes amends and restrains themselves in the future, that is cleansing the heart. The Buddha really trusted our capacity for renewal. And because of that no fixedness, no permanent stain, we can change, we can practice. Otherwise, we're screwed. I don't know what word to use. But we can shift. We can shape shift like that. We can change our mind like that, faster than that. So even we know with the best intentions, we get caught in our greed, anger. We want to do good, but we sometimes don't. And the Buddha knew in himself, and we see this in practice, we stray, we falter, we get confused, we become self-involved, and we see it, and we feel it, and we shift. Yeah. So the point is not to feel guilty and bad about ourselves or make another person feel bad, but to use all of it, all of what affects us more clearly, and to return to that which will benefit everyone, to alleviate the suffering so prevalent in our lives and not add to it, to be still and heal. The Buddha didn't ask for perfection. The Buddha just said, do your best. Ask for sincerity. Just for sincerity. The precepts don't promise we'll never harm, but they give us guidance to recognize. So the Buddha taught these four steps to help us clear the slate. Acknowledge the unskillful act. Feel the appropriate remorse, not self-hatred, but sincere regret. Resolve to not repeat it again, and turn the mind toward wholesome action. Turn to the virtuous qualities, strengthening namu with our virtuous qualities, saying, I am human, I forget, I harm, and I return over and over. Let us maintain our atonement remember with gratitude our lineage of ancestors for the gift of a wisdom tradition, for a path. You have a path. Whether you stay with this or not, you've touched a path and a ceremony to be able to atone. Ceremony means to heal, to recognize what's whole. Healing is whole. Become, restore wholeness. And then we might find that this gate of creation is also the gate of cessation.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about the Zen Center of New York City's programs, retreats, and residency, or to make a donation, please visit our website, zcnyc.org.